the football sack.
Hello and welcome to the Football Sack Podcast. I'm Michael Rochek. This is the Sack on Sunday. We've got Supernova Pete on the decks in front of me. How are you going, Pete?
Good. On the decks, controlling the whole show.
He's on fire. And we've got a guest this week, Michael Schulman, who's a bloke who's doing a little bit of football New South Wales match reporting and someone we just had on Beyond the 90. Welcome, Michael.
Good to be on board.
It's going to be confusing. We've got two Michaels in the studio, so I'm not going to refer to myself as Michael. I'm going to be Rochek today, and we've got Schulman on my right. So
I'm going to refer to myself as Michael Rochek.
It's going to be very confusing.
Check. I like this. Yeah. Check.
All right, and we're going to kick off and talk about A-League straight away. You can tell that we're all pretty damn excited. We're G'd. It's a good morning to be a football fan, isn't it?
Definitely, and heading into the studio this morning, this was basically our reaction to the A-League is back.
Yeah.
Yes. It's back. Yes. So good. It's back.
And six and a half months without some A-League football, it was really something to see 40,000 people at Docklands. And the coaches, when they walked out, you could tell that they were G'd. They had big grins from ear to ear. Lavichka looked fresh, and he had some new ideas, and we'll get on that soon. But the big story so far in this round was Newcastle Jets having a win after the week that they've had. Just phenomenal. A 3-2 result, and some fans that really needed a win. So awesome to see them come from behind and take that 3-2, wasn't it, Pete?
Newcastle Jets, no one really expected it. Matthew Grenlaw, resident editor, he tipped them to be the dark horses of the competition, and looking at their performance, they're fantastic. There's no doubt about it.
And of course, Michael Schulman, not Michael Rochek. Schulman, you were talking on Beyond the 90 about the effect that a coach can have when a new coach is there. Is it a case of that, or are Newcastle the goods?
Look, I don't think they'll really come good. I think they've lost too much too soon at the start of the season, losing their coach, losing their marquee. No time to replace either at this stage. Melbourne Heart, we've got to look at Melbourne Heart as well. I mean, they're a young team. They haven't really found their feet in the A-League. So I'm not taking this win by Newcastle Jets as a big sign of their intent for the season.
Yep. We've also got Scotty Condon on the line, who's our resident Melbourne Victory fan, but he's our Melbourne representative for the Football Sack. Scotty, what were your impressions of Melbourne Heart? They were unlucky, weren't they?
Very unlucky. A last-minute strike by Bjorn to down them was really heartbreaking. Don't really mean to use a pun like that, but yeah, really unlucky. I don't see them making the finals this year, so a win or a draw to start with would have been great for them.
Yeah, look, it would have been. They've got a lot of combinations that are still trying to gel. Fred slotted back into a Melbourne team seamlessly, wasn't he? And you had Maicon and you had Germano, who's at the Argentine, starting to put some good combinations together. But look, really, the star of that game was none other than Ryan Griffiths. Amazing. The Griffiths boys, they're born to play in Newcastle jerseys, aren't they? Aren't they, Schulman?
Yeah, I believe so. They're good good young Menai Hawks players.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I like the little link here. This is your footballing knowledge.
Yeah. But look, in the A-League, Joel Griffiths, Ryan Griffiths, and of course, Adam Griffiths, they were all at Newcastle at various times. Mm.
But look, I think it's good that they got the win early.
Ryan Griffiths is probably the one you probably don't want to punch the most out of the three.
he does definitely look like the guy most likely to hit you straight back in the face.
Well, at least it's in the face. We know where Joel Griffiths hits. and he really hit, was it a linesman below the belt?
Yeah, the linesman below the belt.
Straight, in between the legs, as it were. And I don't think he got sent off for that.
In the sack, was it?
Yeah, in the football sack.
He got in the sack, thank you very much. I've literally been waiting 72 editions of the Football Sack podcast to hear someone say that. So finally someone has said it. Thank you very much, Mr. Scott Condon. He's speechless.
He's finished.
I'm just going to retire on that one.
But look, no, Ryan Griffiths, I mean, he scored the first goal for Newcastle after Melbourne Heart had opened the scoring through Djigancic, and a free kick was given away.
Own Mate Djigancic.
That's right. With Scotty, you had an interview with him, and it was a well-taken goal. You know, it wasn't a tremendous strike. It was just a bit of lax defending. But then a free kick was given away, and Newcastle Jets had a chance on the edge of the area, as the Ausgrid Stadium do. They were starting their Jets, and it was the first one of the season, and Ryan Griffiths, he just slotted it, didn't he?
Yeah, wonderfully taken free kick. Absolutely beautiful. Top of the net, where the spiders live. Nothing Raganovic could have done about that one.
Yeah, Raganovic is a player who's come from Victorian Premier League, hasn't he?
He's come from Green Gully. He's played in the last four VPL winning championship sides.
Now, I think the interesting story which was happening in that game was actually Matt Thompson. His wife was in hospital in labour, and so he was literally on the speed dial to get substituted off at any moment to say, come to the hospital now.
And you could,
and his car was out front.
And you could tell that his mind wasn't on the game. He nearly gave away, well, he gave away possession very cheaply in the first half, in the first 10 minutes. And really, Newcastle Jets should have opened the scoring with that. It was a really poor piece of work, wasn't it? But yeah, an interesting story about Raganovic. He got a yellow card, a bit of handbags after Aziz Baich fell over, and Jason Hoffman in particular didn't take too kindly to it. You know, his brother is, and I'm not really down with the trendy hip hop music, but Dirty South, who's nominated, was nominated for a Grammy Award.
Should I play Scott here?
Yeah.
Yes, I did know that.
Dirty South anyway.
Yeah, no, it was that song, Dirty South, Too Late to Apologise, the remix of it, apparently, according to one or two Fox Sports commentators. Fairly unassuming bloke, Raganovic. I mean, he got beat three times. Tough debut against seasoned campaigners like Ryan Griffiths.
I've seen a lot of Raganovic, and he is a quality keeper. I cover the Victorian Premier League football sack this season. And he was an outstanding keeper, probably second only to Griffin McMaster, who's been an A-League keeper in the past.
And look, let's move on to the big game. I mean, I know that in this studio there are three Sydney FC fans. I'm exactly wearing right now precisely a Sydney FC jersey. It's a huge game overnight
there. With the collar turned up as well.
I've popped it because we were very, very strong with 10 men. It's 0-0. What are your thoughts, Scotty?
Yeah, I've got my victory polo top on. I wore that to bed last night.
Well, of course, it was 0-0. It was 40,000 people. Harry Kuehl, Brett Emerton. Emo had a chance from the spot. Was expertly saved by Ante Kovic, wasn't he?
Yeah, great save. Great penalty save by Kovic. You'd like to think that there's some of the Socceroo camps that have something to do with it, but Kovic picked the right way and saved perfectly.
Well, of course, Kovic, he went to the World Cup, didn't he? And which World Cup?
2006.
That's choice. Right. And I think he was asked, wasn't he? You were at the press conference. He was asked whether him and Emo had ever squared off at training from the penalty spot.
He said he has faced Emo at the penalty spot at training before, but this penalty in particular had nothing to do with that. He saw Emo square up before his run in and decided to choose the right way.
Yeah. What do you guys reckon? Was it a well struck penno? Was it just a great save?
The save was great. There's no doubt about that, because of a low bottom corner kind of thing. But the strike, it just wasn't convincing enough. No. He lined up the wrong way, I think. But personally, I learnt how to take my penalties thanks to Benny McCarthy. Straight line, keeper can't take
Bafana,
it.
Bafana. Yeah.
But look, he just lined up the wrong way, and at the end of the day, that's it.
Yeah, well, look, you genuinely think, don't you, that you're low and to the left and you've got it every time?
Well, I'm not going to say it was a bad penalty. I don't think he hit it with too much conviction, but I think placing it low to one of the sides, you're a one in two chance of scoring, and Kovic has read him, so it's a bit unfortunate for him.
What did you make of the free kick leading up to the penalty? It was a tackle that comes from up your way, that one.
Well, there were some big tackles last night, weren't there? Beauchamp really had Archie Thompson by...
The boss.
The boss. The boss. Megsy really cut down Archie Thompson on a few occasions. Boscart, he was imposing.
Machine of a player.
Yeah. So what were your thoughts on the physicality?
Yeah, it was physical, and that's what you want to see in a game like that, where the big blue.
The big blue.
Yeah, the boot cleaner at Sydney might have a bit of work removing Archie Thompson's shin bone from studs, but it was all good. It was a good physical game. That's what we want to see first up.
Now, we also had Mark Bridge getting sent off. Now, it was a bit of a nudge, and it was a bit of frustration. What was your view from the media box for that one?
Yeah, it didn't look like our view was obstructed by the wall at time. But watching it on replay, just stupid by Bridge. Probably wasn't the force that Vargas made out, but just a stupid thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, he'd probably been watching the AFL Grand Final, because it was a very AFL thing to do.
He went up for a mark. He put the elbow up there, jumped over the top.
I mean, look, you just don't raise your arms in football, do you?
Yeah, it probably was a yellow for the elbow, and a yellow just for stupidity alone.
Sherman, what did you make of it, mate?
Oh, look, I think it was a definite send-off. You simply can't do that in football, and Vargas might have antagonised a bit, might have baited him into it, but, you know, a more experienced player wouldn't react to that situation. And I think he got his just desserts for getting sent off there.
Totally, and you just you can't do that. But there was a lot going both ways. I mean, you had Lee Broxham just being Johnny on the spot every time there was a dust up, whether he was involved or not. He was there just having a word to somebody, just with his stupid haircut. Scotty, he's one of those players, isn't he, that just kind of just gets involved, gets his sticks his nose in.
He is one of those players, an antagonist. He's shaved his head. He's trying to look as much as he can like Kevin Muscat. He's trying to take that role over.
And Fashini as well was a bit of a live wire. Good player, but also likes getting involved in a dust-up.
Yeah, I haven't really noticed that from Fashini in the past. I did notice that last night. He's going to be a very good player, Fashini. He's only really young. He needs to get into the gym and do a lot of work in that way, but he's going to be really good. But yeah, last night was a sort of different side from what I've seen previously.
And boys, in the studio, the youngest player on the pitch was one of the best, Marcos Rojas. Pete,
look, he just ripped defence apart. The way he just took on so many of the players, perfect passing as well for Harry Kewell. The two of those two are going to link up perfectly for the rest of this season. And this is coming from a Sydney member.
Yeah.
It's scary that attack is so strong. Melbourne Victory's centre of midfield, I think, is that's where they lacked it last night.
Yeah.
You looked at...
Brebner really isn't an architect, is he?
No.
He's a hard man. But Shulman, what do you reckon on Brebner?
Well, I think they put in a good performance.
Yeah.
They're going to be up there this season.
Yeah.
Top two or three very, very easily, I think. Sydney FC fan, not a fan of Melbourne Victory at all, but I do believe that Melbourne Victory will be their final series. Very good challenges for it. They put in a good effort against Sydney last night.
Just on Marcos Rojas, boys, Djurakovic was asked in the press conference where he's at, and Djurakovic said he's got a lot of work to do. He's got plenty left to improve. And that's really scary because he's electrifying. He's going to tear the A-League apart this year if he reaches any of the heights that Djurakovic has set.
Well, you can tell he's a youngster in the sense that he doesn't have any fear of anyone, does he? He just takes people on and he skins people time and time again. But he does show his age in that when he gets there, the final pass doesn't quite make it. But when it does, he's going to set up so many goals.
That'll come with time as well. I think they're a very exciting squad, Melbourne Victory, and there's a lot of expectation of them this season. I think Rojas, Kewell.
Yeah.
Allsop.
Hernandez.
Archie.
Solozano. Cernak. It's frightening. It is frightening. And look, if Simon Colosimo comes across, it's pretty much one of the better sides that an A-League team has produced.
It is. They do desperately need a defender. Adrian Madashi was training with him. He had his squad number, had his name on the list and everything. And his Victory somehow let him slip through. I don't know why they didn't sign him.
Yeah,
they had the chance to.
Tough because he's come back, hasn't he?
Adelaide had him in their sights and Adelaide sort of let him slip through. And then he's done the whole pre-season with the Victory. He played in the intra-club game. He's played in a few of the friendlies. And he's a giant of a man. He would have been perfect fit, but somehow they've let him go.
Well, speaking of giants of the A-League, great segue, Rojek. Brisbane Roar, Central Coast. What were your thoughts on that? It was a 1-0 win for Mitch Nichols in the
71st minute.
Yeah, 71st. And, great to see Andrew's side kick off where they... Well, take off where they left it last year.
I had the chance last night to watch the game with our chief of staff, Christian Leyland, and I'm just...
Ooh, how prestigious.
Take up that because... It would have been just a love fest for Nichols last night.
Well, I mean, it was nice to see Nichols get off the mark, wasn't it? And some of those new combinations will take a bit of time to gel.
I think most notably from Nichols is, and I said this on the program earlier, is early on in the match, he's got round...
Matt Ryan,
that's the one. He's got round Matt Ryan, and Ryan's clipped his ankles. Instead of going down, he's played on, he's had the shot, he's hit the post.
Yeah.
Could have so easily taken the penalty, got Ryan sent off for it as well, because he was last man.
Yeah.
And he's opted to go ahead. Look, I think that's great play from Nichols, and as a reward, he's capped it off with a fantastic goal.
That walking around Matt Ryan, clipping the post, shows Australian spirit of staying up on your feet, taking a strike, rather than worrying about trying to go for a penalty there. Now, that was really, really good determination by him.
Well, that's very encouraging for the A-League as well, because I look at last season where... Very early on, we were stamping our divers.
Yeah.
Who was it that got 6 weeks?
Was Brisbane Roar
dive in the first round?
Well,
Patricio Perez, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's very good for the Australian game that we're not pushing towards that, especially when so much of the Asian game that we're now a part of is surrounded by a lot of play acting and diving. So it's
And David Williams did the same for Melbourne Heart in the earlier game as well, staying at his feet when he could have easily gone down.
Yeah, well, Ben Kennedy just cleaned him up there. It was nothing subtle about it. And Williams tried to stay on his feet, didn't appeal for the penalty, and was actually pretty disappointed he didn't score.
But anyway, look, Matt Ryan, award-winning goalkeeper, he's been named as the under-20s footballer of the year by the FFA. Fantastic achievement for the guy.
Well-deserved, too.
Last season, we saw him perform such fantastic football, brilliant saves every week.
Especially in the grand final.
Yeah, exactly. Now, are we going to see the exact same from him this season, do you think, Mr. Scott Condon?
I think he needs to. I think he needs to get better, because any keeper wearing pink makes saves on a regular basis.
It's okay. Their away jersey is fluoro green, so it's just as pretty.
Well, I think I've seen Gianluigi Buffon wear a lot of pink throughout his career.
He wasn't bad, and he isn't bad.
He's still around, but but plain in pink, I think it works well for keepers.
It was more of a mild pink, wasn't it?
it was more of a fashionable Milan or Juventus pink, wasn't it? Juventus.
Yeah, not a bogan hot pink.
Yeah. look, great to have the A-League back and just so good to be watching some domestic top flight football. And after 6.5 months, it's just been good. We're going to take a really short sting break, and then we're going to come back and talk about Socceroos.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
Now, of course, the Socceroos played a 5-0 friendly game against Malaysia this week. It was in Canberra, and a reasonable crowd of 10,000 for a game that didn't feature some of the big-name players. An excellent clinical performance, wasn't it, from Holger Ozic's men, Pete?
It just proves if you put a proper team out there, they will actually get you the results. Everyone played in the right position. You had Reece Williams playing as right back, Luke Wilkshire more of an advanced role on that right side. And up front, Broskinio and Jesus Josh Kennedy, those two together just combined perfectly. Centre and midfield, Carl Valeri controlled everything in the match.
I think all credit must go to Holger to get Australia playing at a level above everyone else. So a lot of the time under Pym, we were dropping down to the level of our opponents, and just 2-1, 1-0 victories. And it's great to see us come out, win 5-0, and could have won by a lot more than 5-0 as well.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. It was just good. They were just better, and it was noticeable. They could have put 6 or 7 away.
They probably should have.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm actually disappointed they didn't put 6 or 7 away. They really should have won at 6 or 7 and made a real, real mess of Malaysia.
It was almost a return to the glory days of Oceania, but that's all right.
But Malaysia are better than those American Samoans and others like Tahiti that we used to come up against. Malaysia aren't too bad. They're not in the top 100, but they're in that Asian mold, that Southeast Asian mold. Quick feet, feisty, you might see some rough tackles, and they're good enough to score some goals.
Well, they almost did straight after the Socceroos scored the first goal. That was Luke Wilkshire's opening goal. Malaysia almost got there, but they lacked that finish. They basically dropped 10 men behind the ball the entire game, which is really disappointing to see, but still, credit to them for coming out there for the game.
It's good to see Josh Kennedy take advantage of his ridiculous height advantage over his 3-foot markers.
Yeah, well, look, Scotty, you called the midgets on Beyond the 90, far less PC, but Josh Kennedy's form has been phenomenal, hasn't it? And Holger's been pumping him up, he's been grooming him through the media, and Josh keeps performing, doesn't he, Scotty?
Yeah, he just keeps scoring goals, and he needs to keep scoring goals against these minnow countries, and when he gets to the big stage, that's when the goals will really count.
Now, how bad would you feel if you're Scott McDonald, sitting at home, watching this game, thinking, shit, I could be scoring right now. That could be me.
He could have been the one that opened the damn walls.
Exactly.
Poor old Scotty Mac. I mean, he's been a toiler for the Socceroos, and he's, what is it, 22 now? 22 games without a goal?
It's painful. It really is painful watching him take the park. And he does work hard, and he gets in good positions, but he has some bad luck for the Socceroos.
No, he does. But someone who's waited is Broskinio. Alex Brosk, he's one of those guys in the A-League where, you know, he'd get two chances, he'd score one, but now playing in Japan, a bit more pressure on, a bit more competition for places.
Well, also a change of a role, because he's moved from a centre forward to more of a centre midfielder position, so he's getting used to holding onto that ball a lot more than what he did.
And if he loses possession, then
he fights for it to get back.
Yeah, and so he's got that killer instinct now, and he's been banging in the goals. Two against Malaysia.
Frosquinho's done well, I think. I think the move, hate to say it, but I think the move from the A-League has helped his game as well. Yep. He looked much more comfortable playing for the Socceroos with that experience further out in Asia as well. So I think he'll be a good player over the next 5 years for us.
It was an excellent performance by the Socceroos. Thank you for joining us, Scotty. It's been great to speak to you again, and we'll chat to you again hopefully very, very soon.
Anytime, boys, anytime.
Okay. Enjoy. Scotty Condon, our man from Melbourne, who holds our media accreditation to the Melbourne Victory or any Melbourne fixture.
He holds onto it stronger than he holds onto his kids crossing the street. So yeah. I think he loves that thing.
He does. And it would have been an absolute thrill to be a part of that press conference last night. And Mehmet Drakovic, he's going to have a big season, and it's going to be a real test of his credentials.
Well, at least he could get to talk to the coaches. Now, we were both at the New South Wales Premier League Grand Final. How hard was it to talk to those coaches post-game?
Near impossible.
No, you couldn't get near Peter Tekenis or JP from Sydney United.
Especially two guys that never really mind talking to the media. They're always two pleasant blokes to deal with and have a lot to say before and after every game. And it's a real shame we couldn't get in front of them after full time. But
that's all right. So a bit of context for our listeners. New South Wales Premier League Grand Final was played on Monday, which was a public holiday here in Sydney. And Sydney Olympic, best team of the competition all year, apart from Sutherland Sharks, still my team. And Sydney United, probably the only team who could actually go up against Olympic and actually fight for this grand final here.
Yep. Well, saw Sydney United late on in the actual normal league have a 3-1 win at Sydney Olympic, which was a big sign of intent from Sydney United, and it did cut down the gap between...
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. There was a period there where Sydney Olympic looked like they were falling off the pace. They might not be able to hold on to the top spot, but Peter Tsakanis is a great coach, and he's got them back up.
Ironically, that little bit of a dip was because of Alex Smith not being there.
Yeah.
And then, he comes back, and on the grand final day, bangs in a goal.
Yeah. In the first 2 minutes of the game.
A sweetly hit strike as well.
Exactly. Now, New South Wales Premier League grand final, Alex Smith scoring in the second minute there, and then the winner by Richie Lucic to make it 2-0. Game over there.
I think they'll be disappointed with that second goal. The corners drifted through the box and Lucic just unmarked at the back post just to knock that header in.
Especially in a grand final.
Well, I think the difference was Sydney Olympic, when they're defending corners and set pieces, they always have at least two or three players marking that goal kind of thing. They're really defending strong.
Yeah.
But Sydney United, they kind of dropped just off in man marking. Now, that screwed them up because first goal, Alex Smith, off a corner, he's volleyed it into the goal. Second goal, Richie Lucic, unmarked, headed straight in. Now, that was just poor defending there.
Well, you look at the prelim semi as well. Olympic got up 2-0, and both goals were also from the set piece. So I think Sydney United have to take a look at how they are defending set pieces, especially against Sydney Olympic, because to concede four goals in two games from the set piece, that cost them the title. Big thing to address.
Yeah, and it wasn't a lack of experience as well. He had Mark Rudin in there, the big blue man.
Sindrick, who made the team of the year as well. He had a great performance throughout the season. And between Rudin, Sindrick, and Golick, who's now headed off to Adelaide United.
Yeah. So, look, they weren't lacking, were they? And it was just a shout out to Peter Tsakanis and his abilities as a coach. I mean, they were very, very consistent all year long. Really, if you look at that season, you know, if you look at the results, there was only going to be one result on grand final day.
Yeah, really. Olympic were just the best team, and it proved the head coach Peter Tsakanis won coach of the year. Chris Triantis won player of the year, wasn't it?
And the grand final, the Robbie Slater medal.
Yeah, for the grand final.
Oh,
yep.
Actually, it was Peter Triantis won the...
Peter Triantis.
He was a workhorse in that game. Yeah. Great
definitely.
Effort for him.
And look,
Chris Triantis got goal of the year.
Yes.
And he was also in the team of the year. And there were not a surprise selection in midfield with him. Steve Hayes from Sydney United. He was amazing. The final points score put him... I think it was 39 points.
He was well clear.
Second place was Rudenberg on 18 or 19.
19 points.
He was absolutely amazing. He stormed ahead of everyone else, and won't be surprised to see him playing A-League anytime soon.
Definitely, and that's the 2-0 result there. You can find the match report on the Football Sack website, which is www.thefootballsack.com.
And, of course, this recounting of points, it all because the Football New South Wales Awards night was on last night. And we've mentioned some players that have picked up some awards, some coaches that have picked up awards, but You know what? The football sack won an award, didn't they?
What?
Didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Come on.
That's all I'm talking about.
Yeah. So where were you, Pete, when the award was announced?
Well, let's walk us through it. Because, you know, it was a pretty prestigious night.
It
was Football New South Wales Night of Nights. The grand final. And the media award was coming up. Now, you had a sneaking suspicion that we were going to pick up the award. And where were you when the award was being presented?
I was downstairs watching the football. Featuring Melbourne and Sydney. So I kind of missed our own award. But that's okay. We ran up the stairs and we triumphantly picked it up.
And they were awarding another award at the time when you tried to walk on stage.
Yes. But that's okay. Yeah. We got the a media award for our efforts with advertising and promoting the New South Wales Premier League this season, reporting it.
Yeah.
And look, everyone spoke fantastically of the football sack. Everyone loves us. And
I think you picked up the award like I like my tackles. Better late than never, so.
Well done.
No, I mean, you deserve to be pasted for that. You deserve, absolutely. Yeah. It was out of the room. I mean, it's like we were talking about it before we recorded the podcast, having the lights go down and just spotlights on empty chairs.
That was pretty much what it was like. But that's okay. Look, talking about winners, you can actually win a double pass to Perth Glory's home games. It's fantastic. Yep. All you have to do, jump on the Football Sacks website, right up top corner, just says, quite simply, win tickets to Perth Glory games. Surprise, surprise.
And if you can't win this, if you can't find it, then
if you
can't
find it, get your eyes tested.
So what's the story, Pete?
Okay, all you need to do, put in your name, an email, how we can contact you, so a phone number would be fantastic, and just put down in 25 words or less what football means to you. Simple as that. That's it. Fantastic.
Will we announce the winners on the podcast, or how will we announce the winners?
You will get contacted via email, mainly because I don't actually remember the winners off the top of my head. All I remember is there is an elderly gentleman who was very excited to be winning tickets to the Perth Glory versus Adelaide game. So if you see an elderly gentleman at the Perth Glory Adelaide game, say hello and congratulations. Yes. That's about it. Elsewhere on our website, we are also putting up a prediction.
Bit of a crystal ball thing.
Yeah. Each of our writers have predicted what's going to happen for the year. We've got myself, the Sydney FC fan and North Queensland Fury sympathiser. We've got Neil Sherwin, who owns 15.7% of the shed at NIB Stadium. Matt Greenlaw, who made up the entire We Are Football campaign himself over beers with Johnny Warren in the early 70s, even though Matt wasn't actually born back then.
Captain Socceroo at the time, 1974.
Yeah, exactly. Scott Condon, who designed the Melbourne Victory away kit, who we just spoke to.
the high-vis OHS compliant council worker away strip that Melbourne Victory seemed to have.
Popular seller to all councils as well.
Yeah, and we also have to welcome a couple of new riders to the football sack, including Sarah O'Donovan, who spends less time on her hair than Nick Cole.
Nice.
Good to know. She will be our Newcastle representative.
Unsurprising, because Nick Carl's locks are pretty magic. I mean, last night, under lights, it was glistening, wasn't it? It was magic.
They shine. They shine.
couldn't take my eyes off. I didn't even notice it was on the pitch. I was just staring at his hair all day.
Yeah, understandable. We all do that. And then we also have Sam McInerney, who is the only bloke in Adelaide that doesn't think it's a pissant town. So if you see me in Adelaide, make sure you say hello.
Well, a shout out to all our riders and to everybody listening at home on the podcast, or not even at home, because, you know, we've got mobile communication devices these days. You can listen to it anywhere. Pete, how can fans get in contact with us?
You can get in contact with us via Twitter using the @thefootballsack tag. So, you can find us on Twitter @thefootballsack. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/thefootballsack. Send us an email, info@thefootballsack.com. Basically, just find us anywhere at all. But you can also find out a lot of your A-League information via your iPhone these days, or if you have an Android phone, scary people, Android, you can download a Hyundai A-League app for your iPhone. Now, you actually got a chance to test run this last night when we were at this Football New South Wales Awards dinner. How did it work for you?
I was very excited. I downloaded it, switched on all my Sydney FC notifications. Not a single one of them came through, so that's an early worrying sign.
But well, of course, there wasn't a goal scored.
There'll be an update after the round. That's true, actually. But for the half-time, full-time notifications didn't come through.
That's true.
And looking at the scorers as well, apparently there were 6 goals in the
3-2 win for Newcastle.
Let's have a look. Team statistics. Bjorn scored twice. Griffiths got 4. and Bukiancic also got four. So a very very impressive night from
fantastic.
There's a few teething situations with the app, but look,
amazingly,
by and large,
as well, I saw Bridge got sent off twice.
Yeah, wow. Graham Pohl was officiating in that one.
So yeah, he's gone off in the 74th minute and also the 73rd. So.
He went back in time and got sent off again.
Became the first non-Brazilian to travel back in time.
But look, great to see the app there. The more people that download it, the more people that view it, and the more people that watch the videos, the better the deal, the television rights deal that we're going to get out of it is, because there's more platforms, more places to sell the A-League. And look, we're going to encourage all our listeners to get behind the app. We might talk about the app again next week, but fortunately, it's all we've got time for in the podcast. Thank you for listening in, and we are The Sack on Sunday. Michael Schulman, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be on board.
Supernova Pete,
thank you very much for having me on the decks yet again.
Yeah, you're the man behind the switches, and we'll get you to go supernova next week. I've been Michael Rochek. This is The Sack on Sunday podcast. Goodbye.
That was the Football Sack podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.